Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Original Football Guru. I'm Chris Bellina, and today's going to be a little bit different type of an episode here. So, a little different. So let me get this song off here. All right. Well, basically, as you know, in case anyone hasn't heard, what has happened with Jerry Childs and the untimely and unexpected passing of my co-host, and what I'm going to do today is, I feel it's the most dignified thing to do, is I'm going to leave that mic open today, meaning I'm not going to have anybody on the show today to co-host or to, you know, spend some time with me on the show at any great length. I'm going to leave it vacant, you know, in Jerry's honor, kind of my, you know, little insignificant way of kind of honoring Jerry. The reason I even have a show is because of him, and I just feel having somebody in my first show back since his passing to have somebody there just wouldn't feel right. Hey, I encourage anybody to call in, and then when I get to the football and fantasy part of my show, absolutely would like to talk to people. You know, a couple minutes here, ask your questions, and I'll get you my answers, have a little back and forth. But ultimately, next week I'll look to get some guests on and spend some significant time on. But today I'm not going to do that. So with that being said, just to kind of give you a quick, I know I talked a little bit about Sport Talks on Sunday. I'm just going to kind of recap that, how, kind of Jerry and I had come into contact. We have a mutual friend, obviously my best friend, Andy Thomas. Was in a fantasy football league, a dynasty league that Jerry was in, and I was, about 10 years ago, I think, and I was invited in to join. I took over an orphan team, and Jerry already had his team established, and, from there on, I mean, Jerry, like I said on Sunday, we had a lot of fun at his expense. I mean, his team wasn't very good. He had a lot of defensive linemen because we had IDPs, and he had a lot of tight ends, and I used to break his stones about he's going to lead the league in defensive lineman scoring and tight end scoring, and they were probably the two lowest scoring positions on your team or anybody's team. But over the course of the years, we gained a lot of respect for each other. I have that personality at times where I can, piss off the Pope, and Jerry's very laid back, never really shows a lot of emotion, doesn't get very upset. And believe it or not, even with our, different personalities, we always seem to, to get along. And like I said, to call somebody a friend that personally and never shook his hand, was saying something. And that's the way things can be today with technology. So basically how Jerry and I got together to start doing the shows was, a few years back, I did a podcast with one of my other friends, Kyle Omler. It got some pretty good traction. We got a lot of people who would listen, a lot of people who would respond on our message board, and we kind of had the, we would talk about fantasy football, and we would talk about fantasy picks each week. And one of the things I always prided myself on as a Kyle is we never picked chalk. We didn't say, I think Adrian Peterson is going to have a great game, and I mean Calvin Johnson is going to have a great game. We would go for the people that nobody else would think about and say, hey, this is a guy you may want to start, or you may want to look to sit this guy this week because of his matchup or whatever the scenario may be. And we got a lot of traction, and Jerry would listen, and he was very impressed with some of the things that we were saying. He approached me about, coming on and doing some shows. This is after a few years prior to that. I called in on a couple of his shows and, talked about baseball and some football with some of his other, when he was just starting out. So he said, he's doing this whole thing. He's got a group of people that want to do shows. He does some shows with Icky Woods, and I think Ricky Irvins is another one. He said he did some shows with, and he asked me if I'd be interested, and I did a few, and I enjoyed it. I felt good that I can kind of speak my piece in my mind about fantasy football and football in general, and it went off well. You know, others have come on, like Rhino and Will and Aaron and you know, guys like that, and Tyler recently, and really enjoy doing the show. So, when Jerry had gotten sick, basically Jerry ran the show. When I say ran the show, from behind the scenes, I just did all the yapping. He did all the work. He got, put all the posts out on Twitter and Facebook, and I pretty much showed up, which, I kind of feel bad about now. But, here, just to tell you a little bit of that type of guy Jerry is, this guy's laying in the hospital what, turned out to be, his last days, unfortunately. And, he's texting me, Chris, give me a call. Let me show you how to do a show so you can do it on your own. And I'm thinking to myself, you'll get better soon. I can wait. I can go a couple weeks without doing a show. And, when you get better, don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. And then we'll do the shows together. Part of the fun was doing the shows with Jerry. And it was definitely something that was taken for granted. And, that's why I figured today I'm going to kind of leave it be and just have nobody on the other side of the show, nobody to, chime in. And I'll just kind of, talk to myself, so to speak, today, and then obviously look to get somebody else to kind of, be a part of the show with me. They're not going to be able to fill his shoes, but they can basically use his mic, so to speak. So, if you knew Jerry, you want to call in and talk a little bit about him. Obviously when I, I'm done here in, in a minute or so, and I go to commercial break, we're going to talk a little bit of football, so probably, be a quick show because, there's not really a lot going on now, and I'm really going to hit the ground running in the next couple of weeks because draft, there's going to be some team drafts starting. So right now, if anyone's just coming on a little late, I'm going to leave that co-host chair open today. Nobody's going to fill it. Nobody's going to call in and be a part of that. I'll leave it open for Jerry today, kind of a little dignified, memorial for him, just not to have anybody else on my show just for today. So with that, I'm going to go to a quick commercial break. When I get back, we'll, do what Jerry would want us to do, and that is talk football and fantasy football.
When I want to listen to sports on the radio, I know there's only one place to turn to. A place that has all the latest and greatest news on my favorite teams. A place that is just as exciting as watching the real game itself. And that's with the Sports Hawks on Blog Talk Radio. Join hosts Will Hawkins, Brian Rojas and T. Brooks as they debate the sports topics in the greater DC, Maryland and Virginia area with real sports fans just like you who call in to talk sport. Do you want to chat with your favorite hosts? To listen or be part of the Sports Hawks, dial 646-378-1303. And who knows, maybe you'll end up on the radio too. The Sports Hawks, only on Sports Addicts Radio.
Make sure I'm not on the... Okay, I think I got it. I'm struggling out Jerry here today, figuring out, but I think I got everything situated, and I had myself on mute. I was definitely talking to myself. So let's get into what this show is all about. And that's talking, fantasy football. What I want to do is I want to talk about top five players at, the core positions, quarterback, running back, and wide receiver. Basically, as far as fantasy football and fantasy football implications. So I'm going to give you my top five. Again, if you want to call in and give your top five or debate, any of the ones that I'm talking about, feel free to do it. I'm definitely, one of the things I really like to do is debate, respectfully debate. Give different, if we all have the same opinion, then that kind of stinks. So that's definitely not what I like to do. So let's get started here with the quarterback position. And I'm going to go from five up. And number five for me is going to be Russell Wilson. I think Russell Wilson right now last year after the injury of Marshawn Lynch and Thomas Rawls and so forth, you know, they really, and an injury to Jimmy Graham, they really hit their stride, and he really put up some fantastic fantasy numbers as a quarterback. You know, he always has the ability to run the ball and scramble. He's not a big, you know, get points and rush for touchdown type of guy. But, you know, with the emergence of Doug Baldwin, with, you know, you hope you have a full season out of Jimmy Graham. I mean, this guy threw for 4,000 yards and 34 touchdowns. Doesn't turn the ball over a lot. You know, he threw 8 interceptions, lost 3 fumbles. But, you know, so each year he got better and better and better. And then top 5, I don't think I'm risking anything or really talking out of turn by saying the guy who threw for 4,000 yards, okay, threw for 34 touchdowns, and he, you know, ran for another, you know, minimal turnovers. You know, this is a guy ran for 500 yards also, so you can't put any, you know, that's big, 5 yards a carry. So, you know, this guy amassed 4,500 yards last year. To me, top 5 quarterback. Without a doubt, a top 5 quarterback. Quarterback that I look at in my top 5, actually, he'll be number 4, is Ben Roethlisberger. You know, losing Martavis Bryant hurts, but they have so many weapons on offense, especially when we get Le'Veon Bell back, that I just think this is going to be his best year of his career. You know, if he could stay healthy for 16 games, and again, one thing I always say, if you listen to the shows, I don't predict injuries. Just because somebody is injury-prone doesn't mean it's going to happen every year. I mean, usually it does, but, you know, like I always say, when someone says, oh, he always gets injured, tell me what game and tell me for how long he's going to be out. If you can't tell me that, you can't say he's always going to get injured. So that's always my response to somebody. But, you know, he played in 12 games last year. But look at the last year he had played in 16 games. Was 2 years in a row, 2013, 2012, he played in 16 games, okay? His last game, time that he played 16 games, 4,900 yards, 32 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions. You know, 5 lost fumbles. You know, last year in 12 games, 21 touchdowns, you know, 16 interceptions. That's a lot of interceptions, you know, but he's putting the ball up a lot. So I look for a huge fantasy season out of him. I look for, you know, Le'Veon Bell back. You know, Antonio Brown is the best receiver in the league. You know, you get Ladarius Green to stretch the field down the seam, which, you know, Heath Miller was a solid tight end, but he wasn't a big fantasy stud tight end. He wasn't a guy who's going to get you a ton of points. You know, he would get you have a big game and then go 3 or 4 games of mediocrity or less. So I think Ladarius Green now could make up for some of the loss of Martavis Bryant. But, you know, you still have Darius Hayward-Bay, don't laugh. The guy was clocked at running 25 miles an hour. They could figure get him on the field. When he played last year, he was productive, and he was a deep threat. Now you get Sammy Coates, and they have this rookie that they drafted, and Marcus Wheaton coming into his own. So they have enough weapons there. I mean, they have wide receivers. They take them off the street, and they become productive. So I really think this is going to be the big fantasy year for Ben Roethlisberger. And I put Ben Roethlisberger, you know, number 4. Number 3, I'm going to put Aaron Rodgers. You know, I had him 1 for a while, but, you know, I think it's getting to the point of his career where, you know, they're going to start to make a little bit of a transition. They struggled last year on offense. And I know a lot of it had to do with the injuries of Jordy Nelson. You know, Randall Cobb didn't step up. You know, Devontae Adams didn't step up. Eddie Lacy had an awful season, didn't contribute really anything for them. So that really hurt. But even with all that, he still threw for 3,800 yards and 31 touchdowns. Only turned the ball over 12 times. We're used to seeing, you know, 43, 4,400 yards, 38 touchdowns, and under 10 turnovers. You know, he had 45 touchdowns, 39 touchdowns. You know, I think those days are behind him. Doesn't mean he's not going to be top 5 fantasy quarterback. He absolutely is going to be a top 5 fantasy quarterback. I have him coming in at number 3. Number 2, and this is a guy who's, you know, I don't want to say he's a sleeper, but this is not somebody out off of last year. would be expected, but I look for Andrew Luck to have a bounce back year. They improved the offensive line. I think with that, they'll have a better running game with Frank Gore, though I'm not a big Frank Gore guy. You know, the guy shows up every game. He shows up every game. So, you know, they signed Robert Turbin, but, you know, they got, you know, Dwayne Allen and T.Y. Hilton, Phil Dorsett, and Dante Moncrief. You know, they got the receivers to, you know, stretch the field. Andrew Luck's, you know, elusive in the pockets, can scramble. You know, awful year last year, injury prone. But let's look at the year he had prior to that, 40 touchdowns, 4,700 yards. Okay, look, he's going to turn the ball over. Let's put it this way. He's a gunslinger. You know, he's a gunslinger like, you know, Brett Favre is a gunslinger, and then Roethlisberger is a gunslinger. What happens to gunslingers? Sometimes they get shot. All right? So he's going to throw the picks. But you know what? I'll take a 3-touchdown, one interception game every day of the week. That's what I want out of my quarterback. I'll take the one interception. Again, because the year he threw 40 touchdowns, he threw 16 interceptions, one per game. Those are the numbers I expect to see out of Andrew Luck this year. You know, he's going to rush for touchdowns. He's elusive in the pocket. He doesn't get a run for a lot of yards, but he ran for 12 touchdowns in 4 years, none last year. So he had 5 rushing touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns. This is a guy who is going to slip in the draft because people, you know, let's face it, there's a lot of guys in these leagues, these redraft leagues, who look at last year's stats and that's what they draft off of. You got to look at what you think somebody's going to do this upcoming year. You can't just look at, well, what's going to happen, you know, in the draft. So with that being said, I look at Andrew Luck as, you know, number two. And number one fantasy quarterback, he was the number one fantasy quarterback last year, I believe. I look for, you know, he's going to come in, even after the great year he had last year, I look for him to have a chip on his shoulder on how the season ended. And this guy took a little ribbing for how he handled himself with the press conference after the Super Bowl. You know, I think he's getting Kelvin Benjamin back. You know, Devin Funchess is the second year. Ted Ginn had a breakout year. You got Corey Brown, you know, decent running game. You know, this is a guy who, you know, and we're talking about, obviously, Cam Newton, you know, passed for 35 touchdowns last year, you know, ran for 10. He met 45 touchdowns, 4,500 total yards. Not a lot of turnovers. He had 14 turnovers, 45 touchdowns. That's crazy. And he's getting his number one wide receiver back. He didn't have him last year. You know, he was throwing to guys like Ted Ginn, who wind up stepping up. But is that because Ted Ginn stepped up, or is that because Cam Newton's that good of a quarterback to get the most out of him? I think that's the case. So, you know, that's how I look at it. I look at him being the top quarterback again. You know, in a redraft league, I could see him going, you know, seventh or eighth. You know, if quarterbacks get a lot of points, you know, he could be, you know, in the top five on a pick. Personally, I'm not looking for quarterbacks in the first round. I may not even look for a quarterback in the second round. I don't expect to get one of the top five or even top 10 quarterbacks. I just don't. I wind up looking for guys like Eli Manning. You know, there's a really good chance a guy like Blake Bortles may fall. You know, I'm in a 12-team draft. You know, I may look and go after a Blake Bortles. That guy has more weapons than probably anybody. You know, so I don't. Matt Ryan. I didn't go looking at Matt Ryan, who's dropped, or Andy Dalton, or, you know, Tony Romo. I mean, for all you want to say, all the people like to throw dirt on Tony Romo, he's one of the best fantasy quarterbacks there is. I don't usually get a top five quarterback. I'd like to draft and fill in other positions. I feel like that's about the way I do it. So with that being said, my top five are Cam Newton, number one, Andrew Luck, number two, Aaron Rodgers, number three, Ben Roethlisberger, number four, and Russell Wilson, number five. So those are my top five quarterbacks. When we get back from another commercial break, I will go and do the running backs.
Catch Moving the Chains with your host, Aaron Fowler, as he gives insight on the Arkansas Razorbacks, Dallas Cowboys, or the SEC Conference and the NFL on Sports Addicts Radio. To listen in, go over to www.sportsaddicts.com and click on the show or dial 646-378-1303. You can also be part of the show with your questions or comments by dialing in and pressing number 1 on your phone to come on the show. That's Moving the Chain, only on Sports Addicts Radio.
Okay, I'm back here. We're going to go over the top 5 running backs. You know, this year is kind of weird. There's no clear-cut number 1 guy. You know, there's always been, over the years, you know, clear-cut, that's your number 1 draft guy. You go into the draft, you get number 1 pick, everybody knows who's getting, you know, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, these are the days of Marshall Faulk and Emmitt Smith and Damian Tomlinson, on and on and on. This year, going into this year, it's hard to pick, you know, who's going to go where. So, you know, what I'm going to do for one of my shows, I'm going to break it up, is I'm going to do a 12-team draft all by myself, basically going who I think is going to go number 1, 2, 3, and I'm just going to go down and snake draft. That way, you know, it's going to be my own little mock draft for everybody to kind of look at, get a general idea where I think these guys are going to fall. But anyway, let's look at running backs. To me, the number 5 running back, this is a guy, you know, it's risky for me because I'm not a big fan of players that switch teams. But I think this guy was in a terrible spot in Miami, and now he's on a team that likes to run the ball. And I think Lamar Miller is going to wind up being a top 5 running back in 2016. This is a guy who's not going to go in the first round, although he'll probably put up first round numbers. You know, this is a guy you can get early to mid second round as a number 1 running back if you go a heavy wide receiver first, or as your, you know, number 2 running back if you go, let's say, you know, one of the other top 4 running backs go, you know, before that. So you figure you got, you know, last year was a kind of a down year for him. 872 yards, had 397 yards. So he had almost 1,200, over 1,200 yards rushing and receiving, 10 touchdowns, put the ball on the ground twice. That's not good. But this is a guy who's going to get more attempts. He's going to be the guy. I mean, the only competition is Alfred Blue. So if he stays healthy, this guy's going to put up some serious numbers. So I like Lamar Miller as my number 5 running back. Number 4, you know, it's tough to get. He has such a small snapshot, but I just think, you know, what I did see was so impressive how they utilized him. I think this guy's going to come in at number 4. Even with Chris Johnson coming back, I like what I saw out of David Johnson. You know, didn't have a good championship game. Nobody did on that offense. So say, he didn't have a good championship game, so I don't think he's going to be an impact player. Disagree. There aren't that many running backs as it is. He's, to me, the number 4 running back without a doubt. You know, he's going to Chris Johnson's going to spell him. It's not going to be like last year, but this is a guy who, you know, played a very small part of the year. You know, although he played in 16 games, he didn't really start until, like, you know, the end of December, beginning of December, where he started getting the ball. I mean, he's a guy who had, you know, 3 touchdowns in the game, 187 yards. You know, he averaged 4.6 yards a carry. He had 12 touchdowns in a very, very limited time. This guy put up serious, although I'm a guy who likes to see a track record. So I'm going really against my grain here with a guy like Lamar Miller and David Johnson. I just think, you know, a guy like Devontae Freeman, who I don't have in my top 5, a little too risky. Jamal Charles coming off an injury, a little too risky. I don't know what to expect out of C.J. Anderson. You know, Thomas Rawls, is he 100% back from his injury? So, you know, I can't see any of those guys. So Doug Martin, you know, was it a contract year, and that's the reason why he had such a big year? I don't know. But I wasn't comfortable putting any of those guys at number 4. I felt more comfortable going against my grain, even though he didn't have a proven track record, and going with David Johnson. So that's my number 4 pick. Number 3 is Todd Gurley. And this one I had to wrestle with a little bit. You know, rookie quarterbacks are going to utilize him a lot. You know, I don't want to say he's injury prone, but, you know, he didn't start the year healthy. But when he played, this was a bull in the china shop. I looked for big numbers out of him in his rookie year. Could be the first quarterback or running back drafted. I'm not ready to say this is my final list, but he doesn't have much competition. Problem is, they don't have any real running attack, or I mean passing attack, to take any pressure off of him. So that would be my only concern. You know, but hey, the guy got, you know, he's not much out of the backfield catching the ball. He only has, you know, 26 targets in 13 games. But the guy ran for 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns in 13 games. So he's almost averaging 100 yards and a touchdown a game. I'll take it. But again, another guy, not overly proven. You know, is he going to wind up being a Cadillac Williams where, you know, he's got a great rookie year and in the second year he's nowhere to be found? You know, so you always got to be careful. I think he's got a little bit more pedigree than the Cadillac Williams had, but I'm just using him as an example. So those are guys that, you know, that's why when they don't have a proven track record, they make me a little nervous. Number two is going to be Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell, number two. And the only reason he's not number one, and he probably will be by the time I start doing my mock drafts, is, you know, he the injury. And not that he's injury prone, I'm not saying that, but he's coming off of a pretty significant injury. So I don't know how well he's going to bounce back. You know, they utilized, you know, D'Angelo Williams very well in his absence, which basically tells me they may not want to overutilize him this year. So, you know, that could hurt. He doesn't score a lot of touchdowns, gets a lot of catches out of the backfield, but he's not a big touchdown guy. You know, 8 his rookie year, 11 his second year, only 3 last year, I mean, in 6 games, but he played 16 games, it's only 8 touchdowns. So he's not a big touchdown guy, but he's a big reception guy. Gets, you know, 4 receptions a game is pretty good out of the running back. So, you know, he's definitely the number two guy. You know, and it's going to definitely, I'm curious how he's going to do. I mean, he's got, you know, MCL, PCL damage. I mean, that's not easy for a running back to come back from, but if anyone could do it, it's Le'Veon Bell. And if anyone, you know, did do it, it's you know, and my number one running back, and that is Adrian Peterson. You know, the guy is just not showing any signs of wear. You know, they didn't use him as much last year. You know, they did throw the ball a little bit. I mean, this is probably the best team he's played on. And I don't know if, you know, I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to definitely take a step up this year. But, you know, we're not talking about taking a step up and putting up major fantasy numbers and major passing numbers. More of, from an NFL perspective, stepping up and being a leader. Stepping up and, you know, not making crucial mistakes. Taking the pressure off Adrian Peterson to be, you know, the main focus point of that offense. I mean, there's no real major backup. So, you know, he's going to get his – Adrian Peterson is going to get his touches. You know, last year, you know, 327 touches. It's down from, you know, a couple of years ago when you had 16 games, 348 touches where he had 2,000 yards. You know, his yards per carry, 4.5, but he still got 11 touchdowns. I mean, that's major. That's big numbers. No real threat out of the passing game. He'll get a couple of catches a game at maximum, but he led the league in rushing. Averaged 92 yards. You know, he's no sign of his skills deteriorating. He's still my number one guy. I mean, again, this could change as the game, as my, you know, the offseason progresses. You know, I don't read a lot in the preseason. I don't pay much attention to that. I kind of see, you know, who's getting what playing time as opposed to what kind of production they'll have. So I don't really look for much out of preseason. So there may or may not be changes. It'll probably be those same 5 guys, and they may move around in the pocket of 5 from 1 to 5 at different spots. I mean, put, they say, you know, Le'Veon Bell is clean bill health. He's the number one guy. You know, maybe, you know, one of the guys falls out of the top 5 and someone like Ezekiel Elliott goes into the top 5. I mean, it'd be really, you know, risky to put a rookie in the top 5, but if anyone's going to do it behind that offensive line, And with that skill set, the fact he catches the ball out of the backfield and they're going to want to, you know, preserve Tony Romo, he could be the guy. So, but there's a lot of, you know, there's a real big logjam after five with, you know, Doug Martin and Devontae Freeman and C.J. Anderson and Eddie Lacy and, you know, Ezekiel Elliott and, you know, LeSean McCoy. You know, those are just, I don't know, you know, those are the second tier running backs as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, you know, that being said, I'm going to take another quick break, the last one of the show, a quick station break here, and we'll get back on and go over the top five wide receivers. Then what we're going to do is we're going to talk some Steelers football briefly. Not much going on there, but I want to talk a little bit about my favorite team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Each week we're going to have a little segment on the Steelers, so if you're a Steeler fan and want to call in, that'd be the time. We're going to talk a little about Johnny Manziel's future and where we think what the Patriots will do in the first four games without Tom Brady. And a little real quick thing that happened recently is the player on the talk real quick about the player on the Cardinals who happened to park in the coach's parking spot and got cut. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we get back, and we'll do a quick run of the show. And I'll tell you, this is not easy doing it by myself. And, you know, Jerry, you're sorely missed. We'll be back.
Join the original guru, Chris Bellina, as he talks about the NFL and fantasy football. Original guru Chris Bellina will give you the cold hard facts about your favorite NFL team and your favorite NFL and fantasy players. To listen in, go over to www.sportsaddicts.com and click on the show or dial 646-378-1303. You can also be part of the show with your questions or comments by dialing in and pressing number 1 on your phone to come on the show. That's the original guru, only on Sports Addicts Radio.
Okay, we are back. We're going to talk wide receivers. And, you know, there seems to be a deeper pool of wide receivers these days with it being a passing league and the incredible numbers and all the, you know, the rule changes in favor of obviously the passing game. A lot of receivers have become extremely valuable. And my number five wide receiver, maybe a little bit of a head scratcher, but you know what? Last year was a lost year for him in many ways. He lost his quarterback and hurt his foot, but I'm going with Dez Bryant. This guy's a game changer. He's one of the best wide receivers in the league. You know, obviously top five is I'm ranking him. But when this guy is healthy, okay, let's just look at it. Okay? Let's forget last year. Year before that, 88 receptions, 1,300 yards, 16 touchdowns. 93 receptions a year before that, 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns. Year before that, 92 receptions, 1,300 yards, 12 touchdowns. Those are top five wide receiver numbers. Now, he hurt his foot. He rushed back. And when Romo came back, probably shouldn't have. But he ultimately is a top five wide receiver. He'll drop a little bit based on what happened last year. Again, a lot of people are just going to focus on stats of last year, not me. If I'm picking 9, 10, 11, 12, you know, I'd be apt to see, you know, take somebody else and hope I get him on the wraparound. Because if he's there in the second round, when I'm picking early in the second round, I am jumping all over. I am running up to that board to throw in the name of Dez Bryant. He may even go in the first round. So Dez Bryant, I have him number five. Number four is new superstar as a wide receiver. You know, new quarterback's always a concern for me, but it didn't seem to matter who was throwing to him. DeAndre Hopkins had some big numbers. A breakout here last year out of the shadow of Andre Johnson. Huge numbers last year. So this is a team that has the potential on offense to be pretty good if Osweiler is productive. 11 touchdowns, 1,500 yards. This is, you know, nice follow-up to a 1,200 yard, 6 touchdown season. But this is the thing, 192 targets. All right? 111 receptions, 192 targets. That's insane. Over 10 a game. You're bound to get points that way. So this is a guy who arrow is pointing way up. He's young, going into his fourth year. So he's absolutely you know, the guy to be. He's definitely number four. He's the number one guy there, and he could be a top, you know, number one wide receiver if Osweiler is as good as they say. Number three is I'm going to go with Julio Jones. Yeah, I'm going with Julio Jones number three. This guy could easily be number one, could easily be number two. I'm dropping him down to number three. He had a stretch last year in the beginning of the season. He was huge, and then he kind of, you know, had some off games, you know, struggled in some spots. But at the end of the year, this guy wound up with some ridiculous numbers, 1,800 yards. This is also off of a 1,500-yard season. The thing is that bothers me about him, only 8 touchdowns. You know, not a lot of times in the end zone. You know, a ridiculous 203 targets, a ridiculous 136 receptions. But only the eight touchdowns, that drops him down a little bit for me. So I have him number three. Again, that could change. He could be number one. You know, the first wide receiver drafted, who knows. But right now I have him number three. The thing that hurts him is the lack of touchdowns. And that's been his whole career. I mean, the most he's ever had is 11. That's a good season, 11 touchdowns. But somebody of his stature should be putting up those 14, 15, 16 touchdown games, seasons. And he hasn't been. So, you know, obviously that's a major, you know, concern for me, and that drops him down. Okay, so as far as number two, I have Odell Beckham Jr. The guy is just unstoppable. You know, he just really is. And now I think, you get Victor Cruz back. They drafted Sterling Shepard. You know, Dwayne Harris was pretty good as the number two guy last year. But again, 13 touchdowns. The guy averaged 15 yards of reception, okay? You know, 13 touchdowns off of a 12 touchdown. That's what I mean about Julio Jones, 8 touchdowns. That's it. So this guy, 1,450 yards, just under 100 yards a game, 13 touchdowns. I think the arrow's pointing up. Wide receivers tend to get into their rhythm, really hit their form in their third year. If you start looking at some of these players like Dez Bryant and so forth, they really have their – really breakout year in your third year. That's scary when you think about Odell Beckham. Really scary when you think about Odell Beckham. And I tell you, if you draft Odell Beckham, you really want to consider getting Eli Manning as your quarterback. You know, go later. Let all the quarterbacks go and get a guy like Eli Manning who give you 35 touchdowns in that offense. So absolutely, you know, keep an eye on that. If you like that combination because, you know, all those 50-yard touchdowns he gets, you're going to get on both ends. Number one guy, no-brainer, in my opinion, the number one fantasy player for this year is Antonio Brown. You know, especially if you get any type of fantasy points for returns. I mean, the guy gets punt returns yardage also. The league I'm in, every 25 punt return and kick return yards, you get a point. You get the touchdown, too. So this is a guy who had 1,800 yards last year, and 10 touchdowns. A little light on the touchdowns, I'm going to say that. But the year before that, 1,600 yards and 13 touchdowns. You know, 193 targets, 136 receptions off of 129 the year before, 110 before that. Again, these are guys who are absolute. This is the number one wide receiver. He's just an all-around player. Best offense in the league, you know, of the top five, wide receivers, he's got the best quarterback. So this is really the best situation. If I'm picking number one overall, boy, it's going to be really hard not to go with Antonio Brown. So there's my five: Antonio Brown number one, Odell Beckham Jr. number two, Julio Jones number three, DeAndre Hopkins number four. And then we have Dez Bryant, number five. So there's my fantasy talk this year. I'm definitely sucking wind doing this by myself. But like I said, that was something I wanted to do today in tribute to Jerry. It's just kind of do it by myself and you know, leave that co-host spot open. I do miss his chime in of, I totally agree. So I'll have to go on some of our old shows, make a little – recording of that, and I'll plug it in every now and then as I'm doing my show. But anyway, So let's talk a little bit about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, for those of you who know, I'm a huge Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and, you know, I really have high hopes for them this year, huge hopes for them this year. I'm not a big fan of your defense, but you know what? With all the young talent that they have on that defense, this is the year they got to step up. You got number one draft pick in Bud Dupree, number one draft pick in Jarvis Jones, number one draft pick in Cam Heyward, who has played like one. You have a number one draft pick in Ryan Shazier. You know, you have a number one draft pick now in a cornerback. So you have a lot, you know, number two in Stephen Tuitt. You know, number one pick in Lawrence Timmons. So this is a team loaded with high draft picks, and they've underperformed. You know, when your rookies can't beat out Arthur Motes on the outside, or you got to keep bringing back James Harrison off the scrap heap to get pressure on your quarterback, that's a problem. You know, they didn't re-sign Jarvis Jones to an extension. They let him play out his final year. I think that was the right move. Let him sing for his supper. But ultimately, the Steelers will go as far as their defense takes them. Okay, they're not the dominant. They're not going to be a dominant defense, but they have to be an opportunistic defense. They're going to give up a lot of yards. They're probably going to give up a lot of points because they're going to be going against teams that are going to have to score because they're going to score, which means teams are going to throw on them. They're going to go up and down the field on them. But they have to create turnovers. They have to get sacks. They have to get the offense in good field position. You know, get off the field on third down. You know, those are the key things that they haven't done over the last 4 or 5 years. I'm not a big fan of how they played last year. They were better than they were under LeBeau, but they're still the same as what I feel tired system. So, you know, far on offense, you know, losing Bryant Hurts. This offense could have been, I can't even imagine how good this offense could have been with Bell back, Bryant back, and Roethlisberger being healthy. I mean, to me, I think that would have been a great thing. So, you know, I got somebody who's, you know, looking to call in. Let me see if I can figure this out. Hold on for 1 second. Okay, you're on the air. Welcome to my show. Oh, you there? Well, I guess not. One of these days I'll figure this out. I'll have to figure out how to do this. But anyway, we're all talking about the Steelers. And if I could figure out how to get this going here, let me see how this goes here. Get the microphone. Are you on? Can you hear me? Hello? Well, whoever just tried calling in, I apologize. I'm going to try and figure this out. I didn't hear anything on my end. Doesn't mean you weren't talking. Doesn't mean you weren't on the phone. Just means I can't figure it out. So maybe I definitely will from now to my next show. So, again, please call back. I apologize if I hung up on you. It's definitely not what I was looking to do. But anyway, talking about the Steelers, as always, it's going to be a part of my show. Every show, I'm just going to kind of talk a little bit about them. And I'm hoping that's where I really get, you know, people calling in to discuss everything, you know, and give me their opinions of the Steelers. Because believe me, I'm very opinionated when it comes to the Steelers. But anyway, as I was saying, definitely this offense, you know, shoulda, coulda, woulda, would have been great if they had everybody there, but they're not. And I think Coates is going to have to step up. Everyone's all jumping up and down about how he played against Denver, but the guy was in the wrong spot a lot of times in that game. But when he caught the ball and was in the right spot, he was pretty tough to cover. So I think Pittsburgh's a Super Bowl contender this year, barring injuries. Basically, they can't have Ben Roethlisberger get hurt. They may be able to get around everybody else. I mean, they almost beat Denver, Super Bowl champions, in their house without Antonio Brown, without Le'Veon Bell, because they had Ben Roethlisberger, who he wasn't even 100%, and they almost beat Denver. So that just tells me how good they are and how really the person that needs to be on that field is Ben Roethlisberger. Okay, going from the Steelers to stay in the division, let's talk a little bit about Johnny Manziel's future. You know, as I kind of said Sunday, if you guys listened to that show on the Sports Talks, there's always going to be a spot for Johnny Manziel if he could show a commitment to playing football. Quarterback position is not an easy position to fill. Some people have made great careers of just being a backup. So to me, I think as long as he gets his head screwed on straight, there's really nothing indication that that's going to happen. But if it did, there's a spot for him, but it has to be the right spot. It has to be a team where he can't be bigger than the team. And when I say that, I mean, you know, he's not going to go to Buffalo. You can't go to Buffalo. You can't go to the Jets. You can't go to Miami. You can't go to, teams like that. You got to go to a spot where, you know, you walk into that locker room and you're just one of the 53 guys. You go to Pittsburgh, you're one of 53 guys. You're not going to go into Pittsburgh where they have 6 Lombardi trophies, a future Hall of Fame quarterback, and Hall of Famers walking in and out of that building like people walk in and out of Walmart and think that you're bigger than anybody out there. You will be laughed out of that building. That's the situation he needs to go. He needs to be humble. You know, you can go to Green. You can't go to Green Bay with all that history and a Hall of Fame quarterback and think you're going to be bigger than the team. You'll be a level of interest in the beginning as you get it. People are going to want to know how things are going, but you are not going to go in there as bigger than the team. You're not going to fall asleep in a meeting. Okay, could you imagine falling asleep in a meeting and having to talk to James Harrison afterwards? Not going to be pretty. So that's the situation for Johnny Manziel. He went to Cleveland. He was bigger than the organization. He was bigger than the coach. He was bigger than any other player. He sold so many tickets right out. I mean, tell me that isn't an ego blast for somebody of his age. I show up in town and 35,000 people bought season tickets. Well, of course he's going to have the world revolves around me mentality. So, you know, if he can get his head screwed on straight at some point, he's got talent, and he can get in the right situation, backing up an Aaron Rodgers, a Ben Roethlisberger, a Tom Brady, an Eli Manning, a Blake Bortles, somebody along those lines who are not ever going to be worried about losing their starting position, that would be the right spot for Johnny Manziel. Again, because I also look at the same thing as RG3. He came into Washington, he was bigger than the organization for some reason. You know, it would just seem like he was bigger than the organization. So that's how I feel about that. My next topic is, what will the Patriots do during Tom Brady's suspension? 4-game suspension. Honestly, this is a team that I feel can go, 2-2. Trust me, Bill Belichick, this is where a guy like Bill Belichick makes his money. This is where a guy like Bill Belichick shows why he's one of the greatest coaches, probably the greatest coach of all time, because they have 4 tough games, and he's going to win 2 of them. They start out at Arizona, okay? Arizona's really going to want to show the world that was a fluke how bad they got beat last year. Then they go to Miami. That's a winnable game, but it's a tough division matchup. They always struggle against the Dolphins. Houston, Buffalo, those are, you know, that's a 2-2 record as far as I'm concerned. So if he could pull out 2-2 and then they come back with Brady, who is going to be pissed off, okay, this is a team that could run a table and wind up being 14-2 going into playoffs. They got weapons on offense. They got improved on defense, best coach in the league, an angry Tom Brady. Garoppolo can hold down the fort. Just go 2-2. This team is going to be in great shape when Brady gets back. Now, this is a guy, for his career, has played behind Tom Brady. So he's learning from the best. He's learning from the best head coach. You know, he's during a system that is, you know, very player-friendly. So he is absolutely going to be given every opportunity to succeed and get them at least 500. Now, if they go 3-1 in those games, wow. Patriots are going to probably have home field throughout the playoffs again. I mean, there's a team when Brady gets back, they're going to be, you know, deadly. I'm not even concerned if they go 1-3 because I think they're going to, you know, they're not in a really tough division. You know, the Jets don't bring back Ryan Fitzpatrick. They're going to beat them twice. They're going to beat Miami twice. They're going to beat Buffalo twice. Those six games right there. But, you know, if they go 1-3, I wouldn't panic. 0-4, that's a tough one to turn around from. But 1-3 can be done. So I think that's where it's going to be with that team. Now, the other thing I want to talk about, which is on the docket, again, I'm going to, you know, be cutting this show short. So, again, if anybody wants to call in, hey, I could embrace it at this point because maybe I could figure it out how to get you talking. You know, do me a favor and call in, and I'll see if I can get it to work. But, you know, there was a player on the – what team was it? It was on Arizona that the player actually was late. He was an undrafted free agent that was an ex, you know, Australian player or whatever, I believe it was. I can't think of his name, you know, I forget his name, but he actually was running late to practice, I believe. And he wound up parking in Bruce Arians' parking spot, which I guess is a big no-no to Bruce Arians. But Bruce Arians cut him for that. So kind of funny story in a way where, you know, it's a terrible way to lose your career because, I don't know, you're an undrafted free agent. You're not going to really get a lot of opportunities. You're lucky to be even there. He probably just, you know, I don't know how well he was. But let me put it this way. One thing I'm going to say. You know, we're not idiots. If this guy could play football, okay, he could have taken a crap in Bruce Arians' parking spot and he'd still be at practice and he wouldn't have been cut. Okay, so this is, to me, you know, kind of a little dopey story where, you know, here's a guy who probably wasn't going to make the team anyway. He's a long shot, did something to get under Bruce Arians' skin. But let's make no mistake about it. There's a separate set of rules for the haves and the have-nots on NFL teams. I mean, it's like that everywhere. You have your group that, you know, no matter what, they're going to get – I'll give you an example. A few years back, about 5 years ago maybe, the Vikings had said, anybody who hits Adrian Peterson in practice is going to get cut. Okay? Okay. Now, what if Jared Allen floored him? You cutting Jared Allen? I mean, let's be ridiculous. Let's not be ridiculous here. If Jared Allen had cleaned Adrian Peterson's clock in practice, there is no way in the world they were going to cut him. So, you know, it's just that. But if it was an undrafted free agent or a seventh-round pick or a low-level player on that team and they hit Adrian Peterson, he's gone. So that's just the way the NFL is. It's the way the world is. Cares, doesn't really bother me. It's just, I just think that's kind of crappy by Bruce Arians to do something like that. So, with that being said, that's all I'm talking about today. Under an hour. I know I usually have 2 hours, but it's kind of difficult to go solo. I'm glad this is going to be the only time I do it. Just to tell you, you know, how to reach me, OriginalGuru91 on Twitter. If you want to be on my show next week, and, you know, I'm going to look to have somebody be my, you know, co-host every week. You know, I like consistency. I, you know, as much as I, you know, want to have different guests call in, I want to have a co-host. I want to have somebody who's going to be every week with me, you know, figure out a game plan. So if you're interested in that, you know, I'm going to have a few people on, you know, give you a shot at it, and whoever I feel I mesh the best with can be on the show with me every week. And I'll teach you how to do the show just like I was taught. So so give that some thought if you're interested, if you're listening and not sure if you want to do it. Hey, you know, if you could talk sports, you could do the show. We're not reaching millions, so you don't have to worry about that. You know, get yourself comfortable as we grow, and that's going to be really what I'm looking to do over the next few weeks. So, again, so just reach out to me, OriginalGuru91. I'm going to start posting a lot more frequently. So hopefully, you know, you enjoyed this show. Again, I just want to do a last, you know, tribute to Jerry. Again, really appreciated what he stood for. He did a lot of this stuff on his own time and on his own dime. It was his passion. Fantasy football and NFL football and sports in general is what Jerry's passion was. It meant a lot to him. It meant a lot for him that we did it. He enjoyed it, and we enjoyed it with him. And regardless of how far we progressed, myself and Tyler and Aaron, Rhino and Will and T, it won't be the same without Jerry, but it'll be done in his memory and in his honor. With him, you know, he got this all started. He gave us all this opportunity. We appreciate it. And, you know, we sit here and go on and on for days and days on what a good guy he was. He's one of the good guys. In a world where dog eat dog, cutthroat, and people, you know, step on other people's necks for a nickel, he wasn't one of those guys. He was the other side of the spectrum when there was too few of them. And, of course, in the crappy way things go, he was definitely taken away from us way, way too soon. So I dedicated this show to Jerry. I didn't have anybody on my show for that reason. And, you know, rest in peace, my friend. And I will talk to everybody next week. Have a good night.